Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. I'm Michael. He's Toru.
Hey, how you doing?
We're just generalizing these intros now. We're just like, you see us all the time. We're going to keep it nice and simple.
That's right. We got to keep moving. We got to be efficient. You know, we don't
got things to do. We got tournaments to play in, you know.
That's right.
We'll get to that in a bit. But real quick, it is the month of June. And ladies and gentlemen, this month, Wes Johnson, the PA announcer of the Washington Capitals, also a voice actor in the Fallout and Elder Scrolls video games, is doing a charity global streaming event this month called Wes Johnson's Voice of Palooza Through Fallout for Hope. Click the link that you see down below in the video description or on txhthockey.com. I am actually one of the streamers. When I return from Canada, you can also do donations to the Longest Day Alzheimer's Association. So I just want to put that out there. That is technically like a sponsor, quote unquote, for anything that we do for the month of June. So please donate. I've had my grandmother on my father's side had Alzheimer's. I know what it's like to see a family member go through it. It's not a fun time. So Longest Day, click the link, donate it, whatever you can. So with that, we didn't do conference finals. You had a busy schedule. Yep. I couldn't get Ted Starkey in because of his schedule, and just, you know, life gets in the way. It happens.
They all went so quickly too.
Yeah, and they did. They right. went, but they're both 5-game series. But before we hop into Stanley Cup final preview, we need to, or I guess I'm going to address something, but I know you have a little bit to chime in on this. Alex sure. Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing, and I say this as somebody who is a Washington Capitals season ticket holder, a season ticket holder, and the guy could be legitimately one, I don't know, got something or claimed they got something, and they posted the little clip of a picture online on Twitter, saying that this upcoming season will be Ovechkin's last season. It was like in all red, all caps, and everything like that. Capitals PR came out and says, oh, this was an email from like the corporate sales department, but it wasn't supposed to be something to go out because I guess it was just a draft, because I guess they're drafting stuff up. So how this person got it, don't know, stuff like that. And then a fan blog, Google translated a Russian interview with Alex Ovechkin's wife, not Natsia, and they pretty much took the, and this site is also really known for taking things out of context and putting it out there out of context. And because they've gotten former Caps players in trouble by doing this, by doing these type of translations and taking things out of context the way they shouldn't have been taken in. And they put out a thing that says that Ovechkin is going to go back to Russia after next season. And here's the thing. Alex Ovechkin goes back to Russia every offseason. He's been doing it since his rookie year. He always does it. This is not new. One of two things, and actually Ted Starkey wrote an amazing article for Hockey Hot Stove about this for Ovechkin. And I'm taking his phrase. Right now, what we're dealing with Alex Ovechkin is what we call silly season. Because everything that you're going to see, unless it comes from Ovechkin or the Capitals, or in case both at the same time, it's just nonsense and it's silly. And this is the season for the silliness to come out. So, one of two things are going to happen for Ovechkin. One, the Capitals and Ovechkin are going to announce at training camp if this is his last season. If 25, 26 will be his last season. That's option number one. Option number two is he goes the Wayne Gretzky route, which is when he does it with about a month left in the season. And Ted Starkey wrote up something really good in his article on hockeyhotstove.com, where he says, when you look at the chase that Ovechkin did for breaking Gretzky's record, it really tired him out throughout the season because of the distraction. Starkey and I are both in agreement because we've talked about this privately, and he kind of made it known in the Hockey Hot Stove thing that Ovechkin will probably announce what he's going to do near the end of the 25-26 season. Because if he announces it at training camp that this would be his last season, it becomes another circus and it becomes another distraction. And he would rather have this season be more of a focus on the team making the playoffs and trying to go for another Stanley Cup. And you saw what happened near the tail end of the season and going into the playoffs, where the Capitals were essentially out of gas when they did that series with Carolina because of just the drain of the Gretzky chase. So I think Ovechkin will do the Gretzky route and will probably make whatever announcement he's going to make at the end or near the end of the 25-26 regular season. And that is what I think will happen. And anything else, unless it's from Ovechkin himself or the Capitals, it's irrelevant. Don't pay attention to the clickbait. Don't pay attention to that nonsense. As Starkey put it, we are in silly season right now when it comes to Ovechkin news.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to come out that he would allow it to come out that way. I mean, it's too long of a career. He's too positive a guy to kind of let it come out that way. And I see what you mean. Now that you mentioned that, watching the Carolina series, I was wondering what. I mean, it was weird watching that because it doesn't seem like the same team. But now that you mention it, what I was seeing was absolutely that they were out of gas because they I mean, geez, we all watched them throughout the season. And I agree with you also is probably the main thing is you guys really built something this year. I mean, it was I'm that I keep saying, it was disappointing. And but I'm thinking, yeah, but think about what the expectations were. I mean, did you really think I mean, I think we all knew the Ovechkin thing would happen, but did we really think we'd be here with the Caps, and the Canes. I mean that and it was just the way it happened was amazing. I said, wow, that came out of nowhere. Well, maybe it didn't come out of nowhere, but you really built something that can become cup worthy. And I mean because that was the rebuild, right? That was the
Yeah,
rebuild.
it was like a rebuild, retool on the fly. And, there's when the season's over and we'll talk about like, oh, here's like who some of our free agents are, here's where some of our holes are and stuff like that. We'll touch more base on that. 'Cause like I've been playing around with a few things, but I'm not looking at it too seriously just yet. 'Cause you mentioned Carolina, Florida made short work of them. And then actually a running joke is like maybe it's a good thing the Caps went out in the second round because Florida was just steamrolling
Oh yeah, you wouldn't want to be
Carolina.
tired against that team.
Yeah, and the thing is, well, not only that, but it's like, Florida coming off of a game seven against Toronto and just going right back into it like that. They had all that momentum in their favor. So even if the Capitals were nice and fresh and ready to rock and roll, that Florida Panther team had all the momentum going
Oh
in their favor.
yeah.
That was the other factor that I was looking into as well. But speaking of that, Florida, Edmonton, round
Man.
two, fight. gotta do like the little video gaming thing there on that one. But how are you feeling as an Edmonton Oilers fan about this rematch in this Stanley Cup final, which begins on Wednesday, which might I add, Stanley Cup final starts on Wednesday, June 4th, which I believe this episode's going out June 3rd or June 4th. It's a bit just depends because I leave for Canada on the 4th, so I might drop it today, June 3rd, which is when we're recording this. But the Stanley Cup final, if it goes 7 games, game seven is June 20th. It is 3 weeks long, and there is no reason why we need to have four 2 day breaks in the schedule. That's excessive. It's unnecessary. Like, you need to tighten this up. And this series should have started over the weekend.
I
It
agree.
really should have.
Well, it's been a strange week, right? Because it's sort of like at some point in the first few days, yeah, everybody needs rest, but yeah, now it's sort of like everybody's, no one like it's funny you're saying, how do I feel? It's like it's hard to tell because right now, and I think this was always the case before, and I wouldn't have said this, at the beginning of the playoffs, kind of for either team, quite frankly, that we'd be here and we'd be saying this is the heavyweight match because it didn't feel that way, and now, but now right now I'm sort of feeling it's a pretty even match, and it is very very poetic. I mean the it's definitely you sort of like the hockey gods with the the what was it Oilers Islanders and then the Detroit and Penguins, right? I think it's was it 07, 08?
08, 09.
And 80,
So
it was
2008,
84, 85.
2000, 2008 was Detroit beating Pittsburgh, and then 2009 was Pittsburgh beating Detroit.
And then what was that? 80, was it 84, 85? Was that
Might have been.
Islanders, something like 80s-ish,
Yeah,
mid-80s-ish.
it might have. Yeah, I think one was 80 in the 80s, and I think another one was in the 70s,
Yeah,
if I
but
saw
they
that.
did that same thing with the rematch, and it was the same. So there's that sort of thing. Does history repeat itself? And
But it
also,
should
you
be
realize.
noted, of those 3 times of a Stanley Cup rematch the very next year, only one of those was a sweep. And I think I b might believe it might have been the Montreal Canadiens in the 70s where they won both of
Oh
them.
yeah, well that was a
Whereas in the
ridiculous game.
80s, it was a split. And then the Detroit Pittsburgh was a split. So will this one be a split, or could this one
Yeah,
feel it
I'm
be a
gonna
sweep?
say, I don't know because it's out of superstition. I've said Edmonton seven all the whole way, and part of it, quite frankly, now in retrospect, I can say I didn't necessarily feel that way about the Knights, but I actually had it written when I was e sending you the text,
Yeah.
and I said in six, and I just changed it. Oh, I don't want to add that just because I don't know. I mean, I one thing that's good now is I'm less about I don't know which Oilers team's going to show up. I think I know which one's going to show up, but back then I had no idea. I didn't know which Skinner was going to show up. I don't know,
Well,
and
and
I'm a little more confident in.
that's the key thing right there. It's Skinner, because from everything that I've heard on like the sheet with Jeff
This is, of course,
Merrick.
Stuart.
Yeah, Stuart Skinner, not Jeff
We know
Skinner.
Jeff's going to kick butt. We know he's going to be amazing.
Jeff has only played 2 games and has a goal finally.
Well,
It's like,
he's I don't know where that his one goal, his 1 point per playoff game career average sits in the. It's pretty high though. I'm sure it's in good company.
but for Stuart Skinner, the thing I've heard on the sheet with Jeff Merrick, 32 Thoughts podcast, and some others is that these two teams are pretty much even. They're playing the same style of hockey, which, let's be honest, Carolina and Florida were playing the same style of hockey, just Florida played it a lot better. It's really going to come down to Bobrovsky and Skinner.
Agree.
That's what it's going to come down to in this series.
And a few lucky bounces here and there,
Yeah,
you know.
exactly. It's very interesting looking into how the series could be. Like, I'm pulling for Edmonton. Once my Capitals are out, I'm always pulling for Canadian teams.
Well,
So,
that's the other narrative that's there too, and it's for me as an Oilers fan, seeing the Canadian fans rally around it is really nice. Even hearing like Flames people rallying around it is pretty awesome, and it is true because. I grew up in Canada, so I know that it's not right, long time coming, and now this is the team that was sent, I think they're ready. They match up. I mean, they're, you could pick it apart. Hyman's out, but look who's healthy now. That
That
wasn't
broke
last
my
year.
heart so much when
Yeah,
Hyman got the injury.
and
Because I
that
love
was
Zach
rough.
Hyman.
And I think it's more for Zach, I feel, at this point, because I mean, it would be nice, obviously. Like, I would almost like put it a little more in Oilers' favor if he was healthy. But I'm thinking, but look at the two or three guys that they weren't healthy last year that are healthy this year. Kane and Drysdale being notable, sort of the notable ones.
And now
So I think it's all
you
going to
have
balance out.
Ekholm back now.
And got Ekholm back, and
Yeah.
Panthers are a little banged up, right? Kachuk, and I don't know, Luostarinen. I don't know what how he's doing, but I
He's
think,
playing.
oh, he's playing. But
He's
not,
playing.
well, everybody's banged up, so it's going to be is what it is. And as I was saying, there's so many factors. I don't know how it's going to play out. There's a third line thing I worry about. I don't know how Edmonton's third line will hold up, but I think it's, I don't know. And what Edmonton's actually playing defense. Well, here's the thing. I think it comes down to two, is a Panthers forecheck versus the and it's not the defense in the sense of moving the puck defense. I think it's a really cool move that Bowman made about, all right, we don't want sort of the lockdown to, we don't want the walls. We want the guys that move the puck up really quickly. And I'm thinking, guys like Klingberg and Walman, I mean, they're going to be really want to get rid of that thing quickly, and they make, especially Klingberg, makes very quick decisions. And
Yeah.
Walman's such a great passer. I'm thinking that, and that creates other opportunities, right? If they're being aggressive, so I think that's a big,
I
that's going to be a big storyline. Is
one
the
big thing
forecheck
I
versus.
see is Connor McDavid just wanting to take over the series. It's like it's going to be nice because if I remember right, I think it was conference finals going on when I was up in Canada last year for the tournament. But this time, like literally, we're gonna get to our hotel between 3 and 5. We'll go out to dinner. We'll get back to the hotel room, and we'll turn the game on for game one. And game one this time, if you remember, last year Florida had home ice advantage. This time it's Edmonton.
Yes,
So
yes.
that's another factor at play is
And
that.
they figured out that if you lose the first three games, it makes it a lot harder. So they've learned that, oh, maybe let's not do that this
Yeah,
year.
so I definitely think being at home, McDavid is highly motivated. The team is playing a great team game. It's just a matter of which Stuart Skinner you're going to get in goal. I definitely think, the advantage slightly goes to Edmonton, but you cannot count out Florida
Well,
because
what and
Florida's
one thing
playing
is good is
great.
the postseason's post. Once he gets benched a time or two, the postseason Skinner usually is a little more reliable, I feel like. But I don't know. He's a trippy guy, but that's probably what makes him great. He's just a very emotional guy that needs to be in the right headspace. And but when he's in it, he's just so calm. He's a Zen master. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So.
and one thing that we can possibly compare this to, but we'll look at this if it becomes a thing, but it could be like the 2018 Braden Holtby situation. Braden Holtby was the number one guy for the Washington Capitals throughout the season. Near the end of the season, he was faltering a bit, so Philip Grubauer started getting starts, and he started the first two games of the series against Columbus in the first round. Both games were losses. I believe both were overtime losses. And then game three, Holtby goes in, wins four straight, and then obviously the rest is history, where the Capitals end up winning the Stanley Cup. Like maybe that's just kind of what Skinner needed, is kind of like what Braden Holtby kind of needed going into the 2018 playoffs.
I thought you were going with bring Picard in for the last four games. I thought that's where you're going with
I mean,
that.
it's still ridiculous. It took finally the Dallas series to have him have a win that gave up a goal. It was like all the games were like shutouts that were victories, man.
I don't know what's going on with goal, but yeah, but
It ain't
as you
happening
know,
against
definitely
Florida. I'm
fingers
telling you that
crossed.
right now. It ain't happening against Florida. He ain't getting all the, I mean, he
No,
might get a shutout, but it ain't getting all shutouts.
it's everything's gonna be, it's gonna be a tight series. It's gonna be a heavyweight bout, which is nice that somehow I've always wondered about that with both teams. I don't think either of us, any of us, would have predicted we'd be in this situation. But I've always wondered how strategic that was, that they would kind of be, well, middling for them during the regular season, especially towards the end. I wonder if that was by design so they wouldn't be tired because everybody seems pretty rested right now. If I was wondering about that, if that was a strategic
The
thing.
schedule?
Yeah, well, just everything
No,
in general.
it's all TV. It
Like
has nothing to do with
wait
the
till
players.
like peak at the right time kind of thing. And
Oh, that, yeah.
I was wondering about that. I don't know. I mean, so, but but I think because of that, it's hard, really hard to predict. It's almost just what you want. I think it's going to be 7 games. I think this one is legit 7 games. I don't see that thing being a quick
I
series.
for my sanity, because I don't like watching hockey late into June, I'm hoping it's like five or six or like maybe five games.
That's late. That's a late. That's a late.
But I do see this potentially going seven as well. Just put this out there because we never got to do a conference finals episode. For predictions, you and Starkey both picked Florida. I picked Carolina. And then you and I picked Edmonton, and Starkey picked Dallas. We'll talk about Dallas in a moment.
Yes.
You went a perfect 2-0 in the conference final, which means your predictions are you're 12-2 so far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You are like if we were ranking the three of us, you are number one. Starkey was 1-1, and he is 9-5 in predictions. And I was 1-1, and I am 7-7 in predictions. I am
There you go.
not doing good with the predictions right now.
Yeah,
So,
that's wild.
but going into the Stanley Cup final, you and I both have, because I asked you and Starkey before we recorded. You and I have both selected Edmonton to win the cup. Starkey is picking Florida to win the cup.
Okay, and that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it's fair.
Yeah, so yeah, it's gonna be tough. It'll be interesting to see how things go, for that. So, two of us are picking Edmonton, one person's picking Florida. We'll see how it goes. I'm personally rooting for Edmonton, so go
Appreciate
Oilers.
that.
Especially
Yeah.
the fact that I'm, especially the fact that the first two games of the season or the
You notice
series.
I was about to do the fist, but I'm actually going to go like that. Go away there.
One of the greatest things is like
Yeah,
I texted you and I think it was like was it the Colorado series? No, not the Colorado, the Vegas series. It was either Vegas or Dallas. I forget what it was. It might have been second round because I was coming home from the Caps game after the Capitals got eliminated and I think the Oilers were playing that night and I just send you a text of the cross fingers to you. I was like, I was like, well, my season's over, but fingers crossed, you know.
that seems to be. I mean, it's based on kind of the way they're playing earlier, and but I still it's worked so far, so I'm gonna
Yeah.
it ain't broke, don't fix it,
But speaking about broken, the Dallas Stars are broken.
was crazy. I
There
did not
are,
predict.
I mean, like you see Jake Oettinger, who's probably going to be your starter for Team USA in the Olympics, get pulled after two goals early in the first period of Game Five. The response by Pete DeBoer in the post-game conference, his comments about it, his comments in the exit interview day, did not sit well with players. Apparently, he has still not talked to Oettinger since pulling him. In game
Really?
five, yeah.
I wonder if they have something.
And so now it's like there was a thing that came out this morning that apparently the Stars are going to be firing Pete DeBoer as head coach
Wow.
because in the internal exit interviews with management, the players were complaining about DeBoer and how he handled the Western Conference final.
Not just that instant, the
Just
whole.
not that instance with Oettinger, but the conference final as a whole. And apparently the team has not been happy with DeBoer maybe for quite some time, even longer before that.
That's what I'm guessing. You don't know what's going on in the locker room. You really don't. And things build up. Things build up, so.
Yeah, so it's but like when you see the fact that of like DeBoer has not talked to Oettinger since pulling him in game five.
That's bizarre.
That's a red flag. And also the manner of how he pulled him. DeBoer called the timeout after the second goal to rip into his team. Ottinger's
Which is
there.
understandable.
Yeah, which is understandable. And Ottinger's there with them because he needs to hear what the coach is saying. And as he's going back to the net, that's when DeBoer goes, no, you're out. Everyone's going on like, this is not normal with the way this is done. It was a very weird situation with that.
That was
So,
like in the first 7 or 8 minutes of
yeah, it was like
the
first 7 or 8 minutes of the game when that
and
happened.
those I don't feel like those are Ottinger's faults. I think they were
I mean, his team wasn't playing defense.
they weren't. Yeah, I mean
His team wasn't
both those
scoring.
guys were completely open.
At
Perry
one,
was
I mean,
wide
yeah,
open for that.
Perry was right there to just do a tap in. You can't put that on Ottinger.
Yeah, that's
But the other thing
crazy.
is that not only is the Stars not playing defense, they're not scoring goals.
Right.
How are you supposed to bail out Ottinger if you're not scoring goals? And that's the thing. It's like, and as I was watching the game, Oilers were just pressing and pressing and pressing, and they were not taking their foot off the gas. And like, let's just put it out there. Chris Knobloch outcoached Pete DeBoer.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's what he did. So, but yeah,
That's interesting.
it was just
Yeah,
such
but
a weird
that didn't
situation.
surprise me. And again, by the time everything gets filtered to the media, it's going to be the nicest picture that particular team wants to present. And so all these things I'm hearing, and yeah, you sort of see that was so out of the blue, and usually out of the blue isn't. We just have this is the first out of the blue for us, and you realize, who knows, maybe those guys have not liked each other in the locker room for eons. You don't know that. I don't know.
And also keep in mind, Jake Ottinger just signed an 8-year deal in October. So, like, this is your guy for the next 8 years in Dallas. So it's like, it just doesn't make sense. It
It seems weird, but that's interesting how he may get. Is that pretty legit, the firing?
I mean, it hasn't been announced yet, but I wouldn't be surprised because there was a Elliot Friedman talked about this on the 32 Pods Thoughts podcast that came out on Monday. And that was the former president of the Dallas Stars. His last name was Lights. He criticized openly, publicly, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn when the Stars were kind of struggling a little bit. Well, he's not there, and they are. Now you have a similar situation with DeBoer and the team. And like, I know Jason Robertson's name has kind of come up a little bit of like, if DeBoer stays, could Robertson be traded type of deal. So it's like, it's gonna, and Ed Friedman was kind of saying, it's like, well, if this is the case, this could be a situation where the players are gonna stay, but the coach is gonna go. Because it's clearly evident, like with that former president, he was the problem,
I
not the
see.
players.
I
The
see.
coach is the problem, not the players. So it could be a scenario like that. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Not
so
surprising, though,
yeah,
considering what went down. Not surprising.
but going from the NHL to losers like me, I mentioned it earlier. I'm leaving for Canada on June 4th, which is tomorrow at the time of this recording, and maybe even the release of this episode. I'm going to probably release it today, June 3rd, but I'm leaving June 4th to go up to Brantford, Ontario, Canada, to play in the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament as part of Kevin Smith's VuiSkew Street Hockey League. And as you can tell by the jersey I'm wearing, I'll be playing for the LA Mings. Actually, stay tuned because we actually have new jerseys for this year. And I will have the captaincy on my jersey because this is my first year as the captain. Just to let everyone know, games for us will be on Friday and Saturday at BHI Brantford. And first game for us will be at 5:45 p.m. on Friday. We will be taking on Grace's Tigers, and we'll be having a special thing take place before our game, because a member of our league passed away over the weekend. And so we are one of the teams, unfortunately, dropped out. Definitely thoughts and condolences out to the entire Golgothans team. Was looking forward to seeing them this weekend, but due to the passing of one of their players, they will not be playing this weekend, which is damn shame. It's very sad. But we're doing a special tribute for that player before our game starts. And then at 8 p.m. on Friday, my team will be taking on the Bethlehem Buddies. And then on Saturday at 11:45 in the morning, the Mings will be taking on the Salsa Sharks in a rematch of last year's first round playoff matchup. So we're looking for a revenge on that one. And then at 2 p.m. on Saturday is the playoffs. So stay tuned. We will be recording the game so you can watch me in all my hilarious failing glory. And it's going to be a fun time. It really is. This will be my fourth year playing in the tournament.
Exciting.
Yes. So, and then obviously, before we close out, congratulations to the Minnesota Frost of the PWHL.
Yes, for her.
They won their the Walter Cup in 4 games, 3-1 series victory. And every game was a 2-1 overtime game in game, and I believe it
That's
was
amazing.
game 3 that was triple overtime. So it's like those ladies played some damn good hockey. It was like it they were playing the same time as the Panthers Hurricane series, and it was more entertaining to watch that than it
Oh,
was
yeah.
to watch the Eastern Conference final.
For
You
sure.
know, we were texting each other about it. Like,
Yeah,
dude,
for sure.
you need to be watching this. And then obviously today, June 3rd, they just released the PWHL protected list for the expansion draft. Because they have Seattle and Vancouver coming into the league next season, so they are doing their expansion draft soon.
Wow.
But once again, congrats to the Frost on winning the Walter Cup this year. And so with that, Toru, where can the people find you on social media?
Just my full name, Toru Masamune, at, I guess, Toru Masamune. Yeah, I would say that's the best place. Probably, yeah, it's a good old IG. I think that's probably the best way to find me. Yeah, just my full name.
Then, of course, for me, everything's at TXHT underscore hockey for all the hockey stuff, and then at the Lindenbaum 75 for me personally. And of course, go to TXHTHockey.com for all things that I do and for this podcast as well. So, with that, from Toro and I, go Oilers,
Yes, come on,
and we'll see you next time on the ice.
okay.